And isn't that a wonderful song, Almighty God? And we're standing in His presence of the all-powerful, Almighty God who is in control of the universe. He created everything, including us, and we offer ourselves to Him because what less could we do? So, Mukumbi, I'm going to let you step on up here with me. And Mukumbi is used to holding a microphone as he speaks, so we're going to make sure he doesn't feel awkward and have nothing in his hand. But I think that one's up. We're here today because of Christ. And one of the things that I want you to see as Mukumbi shares with us here is that God really is almighty. And it is amazing what God has done. Most of you know Mukumbi if you've been here any length of time at all. And it's just an honor for us to have you here. You are such a wonderful friend.
Thank you, Pastor.
And I love you so much. You are a counselor. You're a pastor to me. You are a friend and an inspiration. And many of you know that Mukumbi has served God for many, many years, and God has done tremendous work. And we'll take a look at some of the things that God has done, which is just amazing, through him over the past 25 years. But I really want you to see in him today what I think sometimes we miss with those short visits is I want you to see what God has really done in his life. Because God took him from really nowhere and turned him into a person that we honor because you have risked your life for the gospel. You have been a light to the world. You have been a faithful servant of Christ and are a man of God that we respect greatly. And I want you to hear what Christ has done to do that. You know, up here we've got our four fundamentals of the gospel. Don't read them while Mukumbi's talking, okay? But it says, you belong in God's family. There was a time where Mukumbi had no idea that God wanted him in the family and didn't want to be in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then the next thing we've got is sin is serious. It will ruin your life. All of us, including Mukumbi, has experienced that and watched how life dries up without God. Somewhere through, and I want you to hear that story today, Mukumbi finally surrendered to God and gave his heart and life to serve the one who had come and died for him, and everything changed at that moment.
Amen.
And God had a wonderful purpose for his life beyond what he could ever dream or imagine, beyond what we would sit and dream and imagine for him. And yet God has those same amazing eternal plans for all of us. And so I'm just going to start off right here, and I'm just going to ask you that question. Most people in here know that you were born into a family of witch doctors, and that you were training to be a witch doctor, and your grandfather passed away. And you had not really been fully trained.
Yes, sir.
So I just want you to kind of pick up and tell us what God did in your life to bring you to Christ. How did that occur?
Thank you, Pastor. It's a good question, but it's not an easy one. Because, as I told you in my previous sharing, that God picked me from the garbage of witchcraft, and I tend to relate His love as an extravagant love. So He picked me up from that garbage trash and brought me in and put me into His family. It was not something easy, but I believe His grace was really, present and abounded the more that by His grace I'm now called a child of God. And I did not become born again or a Christian just because I really understood what was preached to me, but I believe it was the kindness, the way this pastor who led me to Christ treated me. Because In the other kingdom,
let me get you to start at the beginning, because they're not all familiar with the full story. You failed as a witch doctor, mm-hmm. and had no job,
mm-hmm.
and so you were living in a place, and a friend of yours came. Tell us how he came into your life and brought you to this pastor that you're going to talk about.
Okay, after the death of my grandfather, who was almost my everything, things turned upside down. I came to the end of the road, or to the dead end, until I left this shrine, because I believe I was half-baked, you know. This is in regard to the training of my grandfather to be a witch doctor. There's a lot which he hadn't revealed me yet. So then he died. Anyway, right in that chaos, I lost the business of witchcraft, because people in the community turned to our other witch doctors, because I could not meet, you know, their needs like my grandfather was or did. So I decided to look for a job, but not quitting worshiping demons, because I was fully convinced that the demon we are worshiping in my family was the true God. So I decided to change the office. So I started looking for something to do, until I ran into a young man whom I could not remember, but for him, he remembered me, you know, and he called me by my name, Mwanga. Mwanga was my former name, which I adopted from the demon we were worshiping. And I asked him, "Who are you?" Anyway, he introduced himself to me. Then I remembered that we met in that small elementary school, which we call primary school. And so after, you know, introducing himself to me, he asked me what was going on in my life. I told him everything. In Africa, we would say, I put everything in a glass. So then he said, "Okay, Mwanga, I understand you are not doing well, but I think I can help you." Then I jumped in to get me a job. He said, "Yes." Then after taking my attention, he tried to share Christ with me.
But
I could not comprehend or understand what he really meant, because I told him, "Sir, I don't think I can take in that spirit, because we don't have that spirit of Jesus in our family and even in our tribe, so I'm not ready. And I think I have, despite of all these problems I was going through," I said, "I think I have enough spirits."
So you weren't really interested in Christianity at all?
No.
You were just interested in maybe he could get you a job.
Uh-huh.
And he told you of someone who might could help you get a job.
Then that's when he said, "Okay, I can take you to my pastor." After his sharing, then I told him, "Sir, please forget about that." Then I closed my ears. I could not listen. He continued talking, but I could not listen, until he said, "Let me take you to my pastor." Then I asked him to get me a job, because that's where my interest was. So anyway, he said yes. So we walked about 6 miles from this trading center to his church. When we got there, he introduced me to the pastor who was around. You know, his pastor was, I think he was cleaning his front yard. Then the pastor entered into the house and brought up a bench, and he sat us just at his veranda. Then after greeting me, the pastor started from where the other man left. And by now it was getting late, and I told him, "Sir, I think it's getting late. I don't have money to board a bus. Neither did I leave anything for my family, and I have a wife and we have a kid, so I better go, because I need to stop somewhere and try to find something which I can put into the hands of my wife." So he said, "Okay, I'll let you go, but wait." So he entered into his house, and he came out with almost 2 kilograms, which would be 4.4 pounds of corn flour, then about a kilogram of beans, which is 2.2 pounds, and some charcoal, which we use to, you know, we use charcoal to cook. We put it on a local stove, and we cook food. So he brought some, and then a small portion of sugar, because I mentioned about my child. So, and some money to board a bus. Brethren, if there is something has ever made me happy or joyful, that was it. I was so happy, you know, because I had something to put into my, you know, into the hands of my wife. That means we had supper. We could have supper that very night. So it meant a lot to me. Anyway, I left. I got home. I gave everything to my wife. She asked me, "Where did you get all this?" I said, "Honey, just fix supper. Don't ask me anything."
Don't try that at home.
Anyway, why I responded in that way, it was because something on the way had hit me or fell upon me. That was a concern. I was so worried. Why did this man did this? Despite I did not agree with what he was trying to share with me. So that really, I believe that was the conviction. God used what this man did to convict me. Then on Sunday, because this was Thursday, on Sunday I made up my mind to go visit that church, the pastor, as to appreciate him. So when I got there, he saw me and he said, "Mwanga, I'm glad to see you." But I kept a distance because I did not want to hug him. And in our witchcraft, as a witch doctor, you don't, because of what is upon you, the demons, they don't allow you to hug people. So you have to keep a distance. So all that was still in me. So I kept a distance because I knew maybe this man would try to hug me. So he gave me a seat in the church at the front, you know, and they started praising. Whoever was praising, I looked into his mouth, you know, to see, and I could not really comprehend what was going on. Later on, the pastor started preaching. And I can't tell you what he preached on. Then I decided to go to that same church the following Sunday. And on this Sunday, I didn't know why I went to that church. But I think God was trying, because it was time for me to, you know, to get saved. So he was trying to, you know, to bring me to where I can hear the gospel. Anyway, the third Sunday, that is, I fellowshipped in that church three Sundays in a row. Now, then on Wednesday, I decided to go for this man to pray for me. Not because really I understood what prayer was, but I think what touched me, it was not the gospel, the words this man preached, neither the other guy, but I believe those were seeds. What touched me was the care this man, you know, put on me or cared for me, the love. And in our shrine, this was opposite. In our witchcraft, people had to be take care of you. Like now, we would be taking care of you. For you will be speaking so arrogantly, rude, but for us, we'll calm down so that we make you comfortable. But so that was it. But in this man, it was him who was under, you know, trying to, you know, to comfort me. I was speaking so rudely, but despite of all that, he was so concerned about me. So I believe that touched me. And I said, there's something in this man. So on Wednesday,
let me just make sure we got all this clear before you bring that about. Because are you noticing that even though he is a half a world away and the culture is completely different, the way they think about things is completely different, but the pattern how God works is the same. Mm-hmm. He's not interested in God. He's not seeking God. He needs a job. But he comes in contact with a Christian. That's interesting. He can't hear the sermon and hear the message. But there's a Christian who shows him love and brings him to a pastor who shows him love. And so he's not sure if he understands the message. And you didn't go back to that church to hear the message either, did you?
No. Mm-mm.
He went back because there was something different in those two people. He went back because he sensed something he didn't have. He didn't even know what it was. He was so concentrated on looking for a job, what he thought he needed, that he couldn't even see God was working, but he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and so God was drawing him to a place and into an atmosphere where God could reveal himself even though he didn't want to see it. But the seed was in his life that somehow compelled you to go back, and mm-hmm. so you went back.
Yes, sir.
And so tell us what happened on Wednesday night.
So that Wednesday night, I got there and asked him if he could pray for me. It was around 4:30. Then he said, "Sir, Mwanga, I'm sorry, I will not pray for you right now. But I beg you, if you could wait until all these people come." It was not a big congregation. I think their church was between 10 to 12 members. And, you know, when they'll come after my preaching, then I'll call you and you come forward. Then I'll ask the congregation to come and we'll all lay hands on you and pray for you. That made me excited. I said, all the people to be concerned about me, to lay hands on me, and for sure I didn't know what it meant, but I was excited of to draw the attention of people. So anyway, after his preaching, he invited me in front and said, "We have a friend here. His name is Mwanga. He came all the way from their neighborhood, and he's here. He wanted our prayer. So please, can you come over and we lay hands over him?" So all that, added a lot. He did not lie to me. He's inviting them. So anyway, they came, and before they could lay hands on me, this man asked me, he drew close at me and said, "Mwanga, would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" I said, "Yes, sir." Not because really I understood his preaching, no. So he said, "Please, can you stretch both your hands into heaven?" I said, "Where is heaven?" He said, "Right there." I said, "Okay." Then I raised. And then he asked me, "Now, can you put down your left hand and leave only the right hand up?" I said, "Yes." Then he asked me, "Put that left hand into your chest, because that's where your life is. And now this sign of leaving your right hand up, it's a sign that you are giving your life to God. So, and repeat these words after me." So after repeating them, then he said, "Now you are born again. Now you are in a family of God." Now, then I said, Anyway, then later on, he asked these people to lay hands on me, and he prayed. Anyway, after his prayer, I left. I walked from the church to home. But despite of all the problems, of all the, at home there was nothing and so forth, I felt a small joy inside down there. I tried to reach it to understand what was it, but I could not. It was there. Anyway, I got home. When I got home, I explained everything to my wife. So my wife said, "Got saved? Yes, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." "What do you mean?" Anyway, I could not explain because I didn't understand it either. So,
what was her reaction?
She laughed. She laughed at me. She, you know, she tried to, is it mocking? Then he said, lauze muanga. You know, those are the words he, but I said, but I got saved. And the way I feel something. Anyway, Sunday, I went to the church. This time, I joined them when they were praising and singing. So, 2 months later, my wife also gave her life to Christ. Then we collected all our garbage, witchcraft trash, and we took them to that pastor. He set them on fire. Then we started a new life. 2 weeks later, I got a job of helping people from the trading center to carry their goods to the bus station, and things were awesome.
And so it's just amazing how God saw you, even though you had no interest in him, mm-hmm. and he brought people into your lives who obeyed him mm-hmm. and shared love with you mm-hmm. and brought you to a place where you may not have understood everything, but you understood that God did love you and that Christ had come and you would be forgiven, and you gave your heart to the Lord, and then you went back to that place to continue to learn and understand what God had done in your life, and you started to grow. And your wife started to see changes in you, and so she became a Christian. Uh-huh. And you started reading the Bible and learning about that, and then you kind of started reaching out to people around you. Uh-huh. And tell us what happened there.
After giving my life, now that we are born again, we've given our lives to Christ, we started, of course, going to church. During those 2 weeks before I could get a job, most of my time I spent it at the church, because the pastor was always there, and he could teach me the scriptures and why I got saved. So after grabbing the vision, that is the goal, why I got saved, because every time he could repeat these words, you are saved, now you have a good relationship with God, now God is your father, and he's taking you to heaven. When you die, you'll go to heaven. When, you know, he kept, you know, going around that, you'll go to heaven, you'll go to heaven. So I grabbed it, so now I'm going to heaven. Wow. Anyway, I started, me and my wife, we started a ministry. This was every evening we could go alongside the road, clap our hands, singing, and people could gather up. Because I think what pulled these people to come, they heard that the ex-witch doctor, a young witch doctor, who was, because we used to give them hard time, like killing, striking people with lightning, a lot of things of evil that we did, so that they wanted to come to hear what I had to say about this Christ or Christian life. And that led some people to Christ. Then we started a home fellowship, and this man, the pastor, started sending us people, or ministers, to minister to us. Today it's a big church, it's in the community. And that's where I used to go.
But you left that church after it started, and God has blessed it and it's grown. But you left because you felt a calling to the Muslim community.
At first, I didn't know that God was calling me to a Muslim community. Until we reached into that, because this was kind of a dream. I was sleeping, and this was 1991, around June. I had a dream, and somebody was standing behind me. This is now, and by then I had renamed myself Makumbi. Makumbi, it means a hoe, H-O-E. So I said, now today I'll plow in the garden of God. So that's how I came to name myself Makumbi. So now let's assume this is Makumbi. He's in a dream. I had a dream when somebody was behind me and stretching his hand to, you know, past me and says, Makumbi, that's the community. I want you to go and open up a church. And in this dream, there were so many, it was kind of a valley with so many huts. And these huts were for witch, you know, like the witch doctor's huts. It was packed up with those ones. I said, wow, that's where you are going to plant a church. Then I came out of a dream. I didn't understand it. Anyway, after the Bible school, that was 1991, January, February, and March, then September, October, November. Now, in 1992, around January, we started praying. And we were, during this praying, my wife told me, I wish we could go somewhere and plant a church. Then I remembered the dream. And to prove that this was God speaking to her, I said, honey, shut up. I'm not a pastor.
Don't do that at home either.
Are you ready to pastor that church? Said, honey, why is this mixing you up? If it's God's will, we will go. If it's not, let's hold our peace. Then finally I told her, sweetie, that's God. Because this is the dream I had some time back, and now this is what you say. So that's how we ended up into this community. When we reached into this community, to our surprise, it was a Muslim community. So it surprised me to reach into a community, which I thought maybe it would be so easy to reach, but it was a Muslim community.
And he started ministering, and of course the church in the Muslim community was him and his wife. And 4 years later, there were three other ladies. And they suffered a lot of persecution during that time. And Makumbi felt at that time called to learn how to speak Arabic so that he could read the Quran and reach out better in this community. And it took you...
It took me altogether 9 months.
9 months to learn to read, write, and speak Arabic. Now, as we were talking, I said, that's what he said. He said, when you have a determination, in other words, you know what God wants you to do, and you ask him to give you the ability, it's amazing how fast you can do things. Mm-hmm. But he learned to speak, and at that time, when he started to be able to read the Quran and speak in Arabic, they slowly started adding to that church. And that's when many of you remember the first time he came and his wife was not here because they had rolled the hand grenade down and killed the child and injured her. And so the persecution when you started leading more Muslims to Christ became greater. Mm-hmm. But what I want you to catch in this is many years in a process of what God has done in his life. And if you would not have stayed those 4 years to get those three converts, which could be kind of discouraging, would you agree? Mm-hmm. If you would not have stayed faithful during that time because you served Christ, not the results of what happened, then that movement of Muslims started to come. And of course, many of you know now that church, well, let me just show you, that church had four people in it. That's the church today. And it is filled with believers and worshipers of Christ who are on mission to lead others in those communities to Christ. And also, many of you in this room are wearing these t-shirts or forgot your t-shirt because I told Jake I'd tease him about that. Because we've been over there to be part of the outreach. And how many churches have you planted now besides yours?
So far, we've planted slightly over 100 churches.
That's a lot of churches. We were part of starting a couple. But it's amazing what God has done. I'm just going to show you a couple of things about the ministry. 20 years ago when he came here, we were talking about chickens. We wanted to start a chicken farm because he was leading Muslim people to Christ. And of course, you know, when they come to Christ, they're out of the family. They're out of the business. And so mostly women, but people would come to Christ. Well, how are you going to take care of them? They started a chicken farm in order to have finances and stuff to be able to feed and provide for those people. Here's another excavation that we saw one time. This is fish ponds. They've got fish ponds to raise and sell fish. They are growing eucalyptus to sell. Figs, I think you told me. I didn't know about the figs until...
Mangoes.
Mangoes. But, you know, it's not like they're running a church and, you know, giving out charity. They're helping people learn how to stand up on their own and let God bless them and enable them to share with others. And it's just amazing what has happened in those communities. This looks like a small thing, but it can provide for many people. We went 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and they were just starting this school because there was a great need for a school for kids to come to and to have Christian teachers. They constructed that that school, which is a huge project. Here are the dormitories. How many children are in it now?
Today we have 280 children, both boarding and day.
And so they've got 280. They provide shelter for them. They provide food for them. Here's some of the children that are in the dorm. Next year, you're planning on having how many?
450.
450 is what they increased to.
And already the chairman of the management, the school management committee, is in the northern Uganda trying to, you know, to get kids who are disadvantaged and those ones who can pay. Because next year or 2 years from now, we want this school to break even. The reason why we don't want to depend more on, you know, external aid. Because anytime it can cut off, so and then that means whatever we have done cannot stand anymore. So that's why we've come up with all these projects income generating projects so that we can, you know, can be able to be self sufficient
to sustain and advance. And, mm-hmm. and really, the purpose is not charity for individuals. Mm-hmm. That's a benefit of the love of Christ God gives us for individuals. The purpose is to share the gospel.
Yes.
And to give people the means to be able to share the gospel, not come and get charity so they can survive, but so that they can bring themselves to a place where they can share the gospel and advance that. Children's classrooms are built. There's some school supplies that they've got. And those are valuable tools for them because it enables them to be in a place where their lives can be much, much more productive. And for Christ, it can be much, much more productive. So giving them just a schooling is part, but it, more than that, it's giving them Christ so they have a purpose to use what they have and what they've gained from school. Some of us have eaten the food. It's delicious. The beans and the things they have. Also, there's orphanage and providing a place and water. And how many children have you personally adopted?
I have 21 children who are right at the house. The five are already married. So now, altogether, they are 26.
Well, you're probably like us. We're ready for them to get married.
Yeah.
But medical clinics going to meet people's needs so that they can come in, they can find Christ, they can become part of the fellowship, they can learn how to become self-sufficient, they can learn how to share with others. The vision is not about just converting, but it's about making disciples who can make disciples. And loving them and giving them things is a tool, just like it was when he gave you the bus pass.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the bus pass. You used that up.
Yes.
It was the heart of the man who gave it that touched you. And then many of us in this room have heard the testimonies shared by the vast number of especially youth that work in these crusades for Christ. And just what a powerful witness they are and what a love for Christ and desire they have. But these are the kind of things that Makumbi is doing. And you know, when we support Makumbi, when you give to Makumbi, we're not just giving to help in a situation. we're really acknowledging that God has called you to share that vision with others who will share that vision with others who will share that vision with others to hopefully someday it'll be 200 churches mm-hmm. instead of 100. Mm-hmm. And so when we give over there, we give through Macumbi because we're not over there. We don't know where the money should go. We don't know where the money should be withheld. But we do see what God has done.
Amen.
And so let me just pray with you. Father, we are so grateful for what you have done in Macumbi's life. It's miracle enough that you could have brought him out of witchcraft and you could have brought him out of a place where he was in such dire straits to find food for the next day for his family that he had no thoughts whatsoever of you, but yet you intervened and showed him that there was more to life than the moment. And as he has followed you, Lord, you have blessed him beyond comprehension. You have used him to bring life to his community and to so many people who now serve you with loving hearts and find meaning and hope and purpose in their existence that can worship and glorify and praise you because they too now see how great you are and they love you. And Father, we thank you that all of this was made possible because you loved us enough to come to this earth and die on that cross, that our eyes and our hearts could understand that you truly care for us. And so we thank you and we ask you to empower and to bless and to equip and to provide for every ministry that you use through the Ugandan Victory Church, Living Victory Church, and give wisdom to your servant. And we thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.